Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA Meeting on Air. My name is Rachel and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi Rachel.
We'll start our meeting with a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in, and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey in recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off this morning, we have Shannon.
Hi, I'm Shannon and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Shannon.
First of all, just a little bit about how I got here. I'm currently in my mid-40s and I'm a mother of three lovely children and was previously married. Always have known that alcohol has been a problem in my life. And grew up with an alcoholic family. Started drinking at the age of 14 and binge drunk all through my life, really. The only time really stopping to have children. I always knew that I had a bad relationship with alcohol and had been to CAD several times during my growing up. And I was also a really highly functioning alcoholic, so that whenever I went for tests, I always sailed through them and they always questioned how I could be successful and carry on running things when I had a drinking problem. So we tried controlled drinking and various types of maintenance drinking. I had no intention of really giving up drinking, and by the time I got to my mid-40s, my body gave out on me, and I ended up in hospital three times in 1 year with serious chronic disease. At that point, what I'd been so afraid of, by telling anyone that I had a deep problem, happened. It came to reality, and my family and friends all walked away from me. And I really had nowhere to go. So through a detox facility, I was introduced to AA. And when I first started coming to meetings in AA, I really had nothing else. I had no more friends. My family was disconnected with me. And I'd really given up on myself, to be honest. I didn't really think there was much hope. And so I started attending meetings. I was really scared to go into the meeting on my first day. Everyone looked really happy and really settled. They all were laughing and they all seemed to know each other. But I walked in and I sat through my first meeting. I felt like vomiting. I felt really sick. My hands were shaking. And for about the first three or four, I really didn't know what to do. I just sort of stared at my feet and listened. And slowly people started, you know, inviting me for coffee and I started to make connections and I started to hear my story over and over and over again, different age groups, different nationalities. In my life, I was a highly functioning business person from a wealthy big home, big car, all the things I'd been trying to get to make me happy. But the whole time I'd been drinking to a point where I was a daily drinker by this stage. My bottle of wine a night had become more than a bottle of wine. I couldn't have the day without the bottle of wine. And I started drinking at work. My children and my husband didn't know what was wrong with me. My sisters and brother didn't know what was wrong with me. They just knew that I wasn't me. They were really confused and really hurt. I was just walking around in a daze most of the time until I finally, again, was admitted to hospital. So by listening to all of the different stories when I reached the rooms of AA, what I'd been so bitterly embarrassed about, I heard other people talking about, and I started to feel less ashamed. I started to feel part of a group and part of a problem. And these people kept talking about AA being the solution and doing the suggested things, but the one thing they kept doing was telling me to come back. Just don't worry, just keep coming back. And so I just kept going back, and I made it part of my daily roster to just keep going back, to write down a meeting a day and to go back. Over time, I was suggested that I get a sponsor, and my sponsor started working me through what they call the steps. And this was all just, you know, this mysterious world that went on with me and my family. When I relapsed, they really struggled with, my family struggled with relapse, but again, in the rooms, they just said, just keep coming back. And so I did. As soon as I relapsed and I started drinking again, I ended up in hospital again, I'd go back to AA, and everybody would just sort of shrug and say, well, great, you're back, start again, day one. And that was really, really important to me. In the past, when I'd fallen over and started drinking, I got a really hard time from my husband and my family, and I don't think anyone ever thought that I could stop. It happened again, and I still went back. I just turned up as soon as I could get back on my feet. This time my sister and family were involved, and they got me back into the rooms, and they started coming to meetings with me to see what was helping me and how they could be of further help. And really it was all the support and the hands that were held out to me that got me through it, that gave me enough confidence to get to that next step and believe that I could do it. Over the last year or so, I've worked through the STEPS program, and I've now become a lot more conscious of what my family was going through while I was going through what I was going through. I thought that I wasn't affecting everybody, and I now see that the fallout has been quite significant, but they're so happy that I'm well, and the longer I stay well, and that's the only amends I need to make, is to keep sober. The more confidence they get in me, and the more that they can trust me and get to know me as a sober and loving mother and wife and friend, and the more I start to trust myself. So I will be forever grateful to AA, and I hope to continue my journey.
Thanks, Shannon. Thanks, Shannon. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person to share is Vic.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Vic, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Vic.
Always have been an alcoholic. I started drinking in the 50s. Not when I was 50, but in the mid-1950s, about 1955. And I think I was about 14 years old at the time. And I had always had a feeling, as I had entered my teenage years, that I was a little different. I didn't quite fit in. I always felt a little bit out of it as far as being in the social swim. And basically, when I had my first drink, I suddenly felt connected. Alcohol made me sort of get out of me, and I emotionally felt like I was all together. I became, at a very early age, a character. I thought it was very nice to be called a character. You know, Vicky's a real character, because I was the school alcoholic, and that gave me a certain identity, and it was all fun and games. I was full of jokes and laughter. I wanted to please everybody. I was a tremendous people pleaser, and I was also a pretty good actor. My mom had been an actress, and I could pretend to be normal when I wanted to, but generally speaking, I would follow my own proclivities, and my proclivity was to drink. I managed to put up a front quite successfully, I thought, for a number of years, and held down a job, got married, had children, so on and so forth. But when I was left to my own devices, I would always go back to my default position, and my default position was Vic, the high school alcoholic. This went on for about 40 years, more or less. And in the end, I had periods of sobriety, well, I would say abstinence, where I didn't drink at all, because I felt connected to something that was more important than me. It was like I was working for a company, and I loved the company I was working for, this corporation. And I gave them really, really good service for about 20 years. Then, and they were 20 sober years, too, pretty much. You know, never drank at work, didn't drink from Monday to Friday, and generally didn't drink at home either. I was happily married to a woman I loved very much. We had a terrific daughter and so on and so forth. But when I was left alone and to my own devices, I would go back to Vic, the high school alcoholic. Well, eventually, my body kind of caught up with me and said, Vic, you're not 21 years old anymore. You don't have a stainless steel liver and a cast iron pancreas. In fact, you're a fairly sick fellow. You have done damage to your internal systems. And it was only when I woke up in the St. John's ambulance on my way to the hospital that I realized that I couldn't maintain this sort of fake lifestyle anymore. At the hospital, the doctors said that the results of the test had told them that I probably had about 2 years to live if I continued drinking at the rate I was going. Well, I didn't really know what to do. And it was suggested to me that I had already tried lots and lots of ways I'd read books on self-analysis to try and see why I didn't think I felt in connected. I'm okay, you're okay. I'd looked at Scientology. I'd looked at Dianetics. I'd looked at how to win friends and influence people. All these different sort of methods to sort of feel that my personality was congruent with those of other people and that I didn't feel different. Only alcohol had made me feel connected. Well, I couldn't rely on any of that anymore. Somebody suggested I might try AA. Well, I got into AA to the first one or two meetings. I can hardly remember them. And it took a while, but it began to sink in that these were my kind of people. They had histories of drinking, sometimes that were worse than mine. They'd had adventures that were similar to the ones I'd had. They seemed to have been drinking for the same kinds of reasons. They had had emotional problems when they had been kids, feeling that they were different, that they had been alone. I thought I could connect to all of that. And yet here were a bunch of very functional people that were enjoying themselves, having reasonably good lives, most of them, and they weren't drinking. And basically they said, Vic, if you want what we have, do what we do. And the writing was on the wall. The writing was called the 12 Steps. And they suggested that I get a sponsor to help me through these steps because I didn't really understand what they meant. I knew the steps, but I didn't understand them. And they basically sort of loved me back to, not to sobriety, but to a different way of thinking. Because in all those years that I'd been drinking, my ego had gotten larger and larger and larger, and my self-esteem had shrunk smaller and smaller and smaller. And so I was a pretty well an unbalanced mess by the time I got into AA. My problem was that I suffered too much from deficiencies and from excesses. And the deficiencies that I had were in things like considering other people's point of view, not thinking that it was my job to go around and correct everything that was wrong with the world. In fact, I couldn't correct anything that was wrong with me. My sponsor and people that I got to know in AA began to teach me through their examples that there was a moderate center road to go on and that, in fact, riding the emotional roller coaster really wasn't the thrilling sort of exciting thing that I had romanticized that it would be. In fact, it was a roller coaster to an early grave, I think, probably, was where I was headed. I've been in the fellowship for a number of years now, and my sponsor took me through the steps. I engage in service to to the fellowship, and I kind of feel like I'm working for a big corporation that is dedicated to the proposition that everybody ought to kind of try and help everybody else. And I feel really good involved in this outfit. AA saved my life. And I would be a heck of an ungrateful son of a gun if I just said thank you very much, and I know where you are for future reference if I need you. No, I don't. I need AA on a regular basis. I go to meetings a couple of times a week, maybe sometimes a bit more. I engage in outside service, and I've found that AA actually has helped me adjust to the real life and the real world out there. I can walk around with a smile now, and I've got kind of a positive feeling towards life in general. In fact, I have this feeling of connection to the world that's a little bit like sort of when you fall in love as a teenager. You know, you think, wow, the world's a great place. All the world loves the lover and stuff like that. Well, that's kind of the way I feel now. I don't believe in a higher power in the terms of God, but I do believe in the higher power that is within this group of AA. And it's a power that brings people together. It's a power that saves lives. And it's the greatest thing that I've come across in all my years of living. And I wouldn't give it up for quids. AA is, a terrific stabilizing force in my life. And so if you've got a problem with alcohol, you might come to a few meetings and see if you can relate to the similarities between your problem and the problems that we all had when we came in here. I certainly could, and I haven't looked back since then. I'm very grateful to be a happy member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and thanks a lot.
Thanks, Vic. Thanks, you're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength, and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last person to share this morning is Louise.
Kia ora, Talofa. I'm a very grateful alcoholic. My name is Louise.
Hi, Louise. Hi,
Louise. I have been in the program a little while now. I came in very reluctantly. Firstly, when I was 18, I drank uncontrollably. I couldn't stop. Once I picked up one glass, I wanted another and another, and there was never enough. I was overseas when I went into my first meeting. Japan, Tokyo, Japan. I was representing New Zealand. And I pretty much disgraced myself and the country and came back in shame. I was modeling at the time, and my boss decided that I needed to go to one of these meetings, and I was terrified, shaking like a leaf, smoking a packet a day at least. And when I got outside this church, it had this meeting for AA. I didn't want to go inside, but I had to do what I had to do to keep my job, so I did what she said. Went in, sat through the meeting, and afterwards she asked me how I felt, and I didn't feel anything. Just that I didn't want to be told. I didn't get the message back then, and that's very unfortunate because I went out for 30 years. And I'm so grateful to be here today because I wouldn't be alive. This program saved my life. I came in the second time when I was living in Australia. Again, drinking uncontrollably, just couldn't get enough. When I had finished at home or wherever I was, I wanted to go somewhere, anywhere, to get the next one. And my marriage fell apart because of it. I put that in front of my loved ones, and I went to sleep with the bottle. It didn't help much, but I couldn't stop. I went to meetings in Australia for a little bit because my sister wanted me to. I had to come home to find what I was looking for. I did the global thing, thinking I could just run away and start again. And yeah, that didn't work. I had to come back home. I was born in New Zealand, Catholic background, and I had to take a good look at myself. It was really hard. I didn't want to, of course, but it was either that or lose my job again, and my family again, and I wasn't prepared to do that, so I had to do the work, get real, get honest, and get into a program. And this program, I've tried everything. Like it's been said already, wellness retreats, reading books, only drinking on certain days at certain times, diluting my drinks, lots of lying, lots of making up stories, you name it. I did a lot. finally, yeah, I came in to a meeting here in New Zealand, Auckland, in Mount Eden, and yeah, I finally was ready to listen. Finally gave up the fight. Able to hand it over and just be and work through the steps in the program and get what everyone in the meeting has. They were all happy and I was miserable. I just wanted to get out as soon as I could, be closest to the door so that I could exit quickly and not talk to anyone. I was looking at everyone's feet. I knew what kind of shoes people wore, but I didn't really know your faces until a bit later. I just couldn't face you. I was so fearful and so ashamed, and I had to work through that. I'm still working through that. I hurt a lot of people through my drinking, at work, my family, and I can't blame them for my actions. I had to be responsible finally and be accountable finally and own up to what I had done and pay the price. Some of it was very difficult to do, but it had to be done because you have to let all that go. You can't hold on to it. It just keeps you sick. And this fellowship is very special to me. It's my family. I travel a lot for work, so I'm very privileged to go anywhere in the world and jump into a meeting and feel like I'm home and I belong. Yeah, that's so powerful. I could never feel like I belonged. I was always an outsider. I'm different. I'm too silly, too weird, too just, I'm a recovering alcoholic. That's all. yeah, I'm a lot more productive today at work. I'm much more of a family member. I spend time with my family. It's quality time. It's not rushed and move on to the next thing. I really enjoy living, and I was in a hurry before. I thought I had to do everything quickly and tick off those lists and, I don't know, make it happen now, yesterday. I've learnt to just be in the program, just be present and be very grateful for what I have, because I always looked at what I didn't have. I was lucky. We had a beautiful home, business, children, but no, none of that was enough. A job. Still not enough. I always wanted more, and finally in this program, I am just happy to have what I have and be grateful, and this program has taught me to grow and become the best version of me possible, which is incredible. It really is. I didn't have a life before. This program has given me a life beyond my wildest dreams, because I didn't know living sober could be so exciting and I could do so much with just waking up in the morning and listening to the birds and Oh, wow. It's a beautiful day. Another day sober. I'm so grateful. Yeah, this weekend is Labor weekend, and I'm able to be with my family, have lovely dinners, and maybe go out fishing. Yeah, these things I would take for granted. I didn't want to get up early to go fishing. I didn't, you know, the noise would be diabolical. I'd be telling you to be quiet while you're getting up so early because I'm hungover. Now I'm so excited to get up early and do simple stuff, just living on life's terms. And, yeah, it's brilliant. I am a very grateful member of AA, and I hope to still keep coming back. It's going to be, if God willing, next month, 10 years sobriety for me, so it's going to happen. And very happy to be here, and I will leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you, Louise. We have a few minutes left, so I'm going to ask Shannon to read the Ninth Step Promises for us.
Hi, my name is Shannon, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Shannon.
These are the Ninth Step Promises from pages 83 and 84 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. The Promises. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realise that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialise if we work for them.
Thank you, Shannon. That brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you've been listening and identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists, there's a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the country. You can also phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. We'll be back here next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.